from high atop Monster Park, looking down on Bill Walsh Field. This is DenverBroncos.com podcast, the inaugural edition. I'm Kyle Sonneman, joined by DenverBroncos.com managing editor Andrew Mason. Andrew, first podcast, first preseason game, just wrap up training camp. Why don't we start out by giving your impressions of training camp 2007?
Not only the first of those things, also the first two-week training camp in Bronco history. It's come a long way from the days when it was a 6 to 7 week endeavor at the University of Northern Colorado, or before that at Colorado State University up in Fort Collins. And as a result, camp has become something of a cherry on the cake, if you will. A lot of the preparation went forth in the off season. A lot of the depth charts were settled through organized team activities in the off season. But camp did reveal a few things. It revealed that two quarterbacks with an increasing mastery of the offense in Jay Cutler and Patrick Ramsey, and another very strong-arm quarterback in Darrell Hackney, who impressed particularly late last week. It also saw the defense really begin to find itself as camp progressed. It seemed like early in camp they were struggling to adapt to Jim Bates' schemes a little bit, but as camp went on, turnovers began to happen, and the execution was a little more crisp. And I think after 2 weeks, everyone is a little bit itchy and chomping at the bit to actually hit someone else, and there'll be plenty of chances tonight and plenty of chances in the next few days.
A lot of storylines coming out of training camp going into it. You had the addition of running backs Travis Henry, tight end Daniel Graham. And on the defensive side of the ball, probably the biggest storyline was the addition of Dre Bly and the added girth up front on the defensive line. For you, Andrew, what was the storyline that stood out the most?
At camp, I would probably say the defensive line, particularly, you know, the girth, the bulbous and bulky combination of Sam Adams and Jimmy Kennedy to fortify the defensive tackle area, but also a little bit more action with tackles in specific schemes, i.e., long yardage, dime package. You saw Ebenezer Ekubon moving inside from end to tackle, which is something we first saw Larry Coyer experiment with last December, and it worked pretty well, so they've gone back to that for long yardage. Ebenezer Ekubon, among all the new acquisitions, be they Kennedy, Adams, draft picks like Tim Crowder, Marcus Thomas, Jarvis Moss, Ekubon may yet prove to be the most important defensive lineman, because it seemed like he was out there more often with the first team, not only in the base 4-3 package, but in all packages. He may be a guy that ends up playing 80-85% of the defensive snaps this year and could become the stalwart of the defensive line, and everyone else kind of fits around that stabilizing presence there.
Going into training camp, all those were the storylines. Coming out of it was definitely the story of the defense and how well they performed during training camp under assistant head coach of defense Jim Bates. One of the surprising things that happens during training camp is statistics are taken. Now joining us is Denver Broncos media relations coordinator Patrick Smythe. Patrick, interesting stat from a new addition to the Broncos defense.
Yeah, that's right. It's Dre Bly whom the Broncos acquired from Detroit in a trade, and along with Champ Bailey is going to give him arguably the best cornerback tandem in the National Football League. And you take a look at what Dre Bly was able to do during our training camp this year. The 36 turnovers forced by the Broncos during their 2007 training camp, 8 of those 36 were from Dre Bly. If you take a look at what he did, he had 7 interceptions and one fumble recovery, 3 of his interceptions coming in one-on-one drills. So right away, Dre Bly is showing the ball-hawking skills that made the Broncos pursue him early on in the free agency period.
Effects that the Broncos hope to see on the field not only tonight but also during the season. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
Offensive side of the ball also showed some production. What did you see out of Jay Cutler in his first training camp as the Broncos starter?
I think increasing maturity. I look back at the way he was last year, and it seemed like sometimes at the line of scrimmage, like any rookie, he appeared to have some trepidation. He now is much more steady when he goes to the line. He's much more confident in making calls. He's much more confident in checking off. He's much more confident in calling all audibles when necessary at the line of scrimmage. Just a general maturity. The arm strength is there. The arm strength was there last year. Now he's found a comfort zone in the offense, and it's also important to look at Cutler and realize that even in his rookie year, when he got in, he was actually pretty good. He had a higher pass rating than Jake Plummer, much higher actually, which is part of the reason why he got the job. And I think tonight is going to prove to be a key game for him. Even though it's only a couple of possessions, it's another chance for him to step forward.
Let's keep on that line of subject and talk about tonight's game. First preseason game. players are anxious to hit somebody in a different color uniform. Andrew, what should Bronco fans expect to see from the team tonight?
Well, only expect to see the starters for about two possessions, anywhere between 10 and 15 plays. That's pretty much the standard for the Broncos. It's fairly standard operating procedure around the NFL. You get the starters in there for a bit, get them a taste, and then the show's going to belong to the backups. I think obviously quarterback is one to watch because, like we mentioned earlier, Patrick Ramsey, he's grown in the system. Let's see what he does against another defense. Also looking very heavily at running back. The competition for the slot behind Travis Henry has picked up the last couple of weeks with Cecil Sapp trying to get that second slot. He has it on the depth chart, but Mike Bell is the leading returning scorer among running backs with 8 touchdowns last year, so he's going to have the chance to get back in there and prove to the coaches that he can be the primary backup once again, and primary backup at running back in this offense means you're going to be carrying the ball a great deal to spell Travis Henry, because Henry's going to get a lot of the tough yards in the middle, and they're going to want to give him breathers every now and again. Another key area to watch is wide receiver. Brandon Stokley did not practice the latter half of last week. Brandon Marshall did come back at the end of last week, is not expected to play tonight. This is going to be a showcase for guys like Dominic Hixon, Brian Clark, even on down the line of guys like Quincy Morgan and David Kirkus, guys who are returning but seem to have been pushed back a bit in favor of Clark, who spent last year as a kickoff returner and never took a snap at wide receiver, and Hixon, who missed all of last season with a foot injury incurred during workouts. And then the other area to watch, I think, is offensive line, because you're not going to have Matt Leftis out there, you're not going to have Ben Hamilton. Nalen will be anchoring the line, but you're going to see Eric Pierce and Adam Meadows at the tackles. That's where they were at the end of last week. And you're probably also going to see a lot of Chris Myers, who has been with the team for 3 years now, is known for his versatility, works in practice sometimes as a backup long snapper, but can play center, guard, can even play tackle in a pinch. But here's a chance for him to showcase himself at guard. And the other guy to watch would be Montre Holland in the first team, because he pushed out Chris Cooper from the first team last week at practice, and he's going to get a very long look tonight, the free agent signee from New Orleans.
All storylines we'll definitely be looking for tonight. Before our initial podcast, we asked you, the fans, to submit questions to Andrew Mason via his blog. That blog address is blog.denverbroncos.com/Mason. Here's one from Chris in Longmont. Chris would like to know, Andrew, what addition has Scott O'Brien on the special teams? What is he going to bring to the Broncos that they haven't had in the past?
Well, I think the biggest thing he brings is experience. In years past, the special teams coaches have more often been former players that were getting into coaching, and a lot of them have ended up becoming very good coaches. Rick Dennison, now the offensive coordinator, that was his first big break, was coaching Broncos special teams. Well, now you have a guy who has a decade and a half of NFL special teams coaching experience, let alone the coaching experience he had before he got to the NFL, and he's bringing with him a variety of philosophies that he's honed over many years in the game. And certainly his last stop as special teams coach was in Carolina, and his special teams, led by guys like John Casey, Steve Smith, were a significant part of the reason why the Panthers went to the Super Bowl back in February of 2004, where they lost to the Patriots. And if he has that same kind of impact here, and he's certainly got some good tools. He's got a guy like Jason Elam. He has Todd Sauerbrunn, who was his punter in Carolina, and they're very high on Dominic Hixon as a punt returner as well. And there's plenty of depth at kickoff returner too, so look for some big improvement from special teams this year.
And we'll go to one more question. Andrew, Bill in Denver would like to know, what player that may not exactly be on the radar has caught your eye during camp?
Well, a guy that was not on the radar screens of a lot of observers was running back Andre Hall, who ran with some power, kind of seemed like a junior Travis Henry out there, the way he slammed up the middle and kind of brought that quote-unquote authority that general manager Ted Sundquist wanted to see from running back. Of course, he had a right hamstring injury at the end of last week, so we don't know if he's going to go tonight. Another guy who really impressed me that maybe not a lot of people are aware of is Jeff Schoedt. And he's a guy who's been with the team for 4 years, but he has not played in the regular season since his rookie campaign of 2004. Since then, he has been beset by a knee injury, and then a long recovery and rehab from it. He was on IR in 2005. He was on the practice squad in 2006. And he got out there at training camp and what impressed me most about him was the way he went at receivers, whether they were, it didn't matter where they were on the depth chart, he could be going up against Javon Walker, and he got right in their face. He didn't lay back, he didn't let the play come to him. He was fearless, he was aggressive, and after dropping some potential turnovers midway through camp, he started hanging on to those footballs towards the end of camp. And so that's a real improvement they want to see. They want guys who can get after the football. And Jeff Schoch just might have found his place on the team if he can carry that forward into the preseason games.
Well, we'll definitely be watching for those two players again tonight, Andrew. We'll wrap up this first ever edition of DenverBroncos.com pregame podcast. Any final words?
Final words? Take care, and thanks for listening, and enjoy the game, folks.
Good night.